Amen. Today's one of those days that I'm just kind of astounded. Sometimes it's a privilege to be able to lead worship and create the music playlist as well as bring the word. But sometimes God will give me the music before the word. Sometimes he'll give me the word before the music. And he gave me all of these songs like Monday. And in my own brain, in my own flesh, I'm thinking, all right, I know what I'm going to preach now. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And everything that I was coming up with was awesome, but it wasn't what he wanted. So last night, I go down to start making my slides and finish my notes, and I had 3 pages of notes before I looked at anything that I had planned for the week. Holy Spirit changed the whole thing, and every song, every lyric that we sang through worship today is reflected in today's message. That's how Holy Spirit brings things together. It's so exciting and so cool, and I'm so honored. But today begins a new journey for us to go deeper into our calling as Christians, as the church, capital C, the Ecclesia, and as our church, KBC. Last week we covered 2 Corinthians 3 and the promises of heaven from glory to glory when we enter into a true relationship and fellowship with the King. And today we begin a 5-week series that is planned to deepen our relationship with Yahweh, to get stronger in our faith, to align our priorities with His, and to continue this journey of progressive sanctification, to level up. You see, back when I completely changed my life after my divorce, one of the very first things I did was become a certified life coach. I wasn't walking with the Lord back then, but my entire life was always, I always had a burden for helping others and for helping lift other people up. So I figured being a life coach would be really cool because I wanted everybody to experience what I did when I went through my healing. I wanted everybody to experience all of the joy and the happiness that I felt because of how I healed. I knew that I needed to help others feel and experience exactly what I did. And since being a pastor was nowhere on the radar at the time, becoming a life coach was a perfect fit for me. I developed my own little taglines and catchphrases through the years. One of them being, be more, do more. If you see that on my social media, it's always on all my posts. But another one that I constantly always used and still use is level up. I don't believe there are plateaus in life. You're either progressing or you're regressing. You're either moving forward or you aren't growing. And even if you're staying still, that means you're not moving forward. And that means you're not progressing. There's always room to learn. There's always more to accomplish. And there is tremendous purpose and value in pursuing personal growth. And now, as I'm walking with King Jesus and surrendered to his will and having become a pastor, this concept gets so much bigger. To level up through the King's eyes is so much sweeter. Now, I'm not leveling up on my own. I'm following the Waymaker, the Promise Keeper, the one who knit me in my mother's womb with purpose and anointing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is limitless, church, limitless. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eye have seen, nor I have heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. He will always take you higher and higher. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Ephesians 1:18 and 19. We're actually in Ephesians 1 today, but this is after our passage today. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. He displayed this power in the working of his mighty strength. So every single time you get to where he's calling you, he will take a step back and he'll say, come here, come here. And then you're going to get sanctified and you're going to get filled up and you're going to be exactly where he wants. And he's going to back up again. And he's going to say, come here, Come here. It's limitless. We can't comprehend how big it truly is. You, church, you, believer in Christ, have inherited the kingdom that cannot be shaken. From the CEO of the universe, and for your future is from glory to glory. Not only do you dwell in his glory, but his sanctification of our lives will always cause us to level up. Over the next 5 weeks, we will cover 5 topics that will explain how each and every one of us can level up, which in turn will cause our church to do the same. And if we can activate what we're learning and infuse it into our communities and our workplaces and our relationships, the kingdom of God will then level up and elevate. So week one, which is what we're in today, today is praise. Next week, repentance. Number 3, realignment and authority. Number 4, perspective. And number 5, growth. Those 5 topics are going to cover so much ground, and I hope it is a challenge to you and a platform where you can build your relationship with the King on. So let's jump into our first topic, praise. Obviously, one of my favorite subjects, because worship music and praise go hand in hand, right? Everything we just sang, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in my lungs, so I pour out your praise. Pour out my heart, Lord, great are you. That's what praise is. A good part of my life and ministry have been devoted to praise and worship. To praise God means to say good things about him, to honor and to worship him, to celebrate his goodness and his grace, to give him thanks and adore his beautiful name. And since we are talking to Yahweh when we are speaking of his greatness and his goodness, praise is a beautiful form of prayer. When we praise God, we benefit in powerful ways. Our thoughts turn from ourselves to God's, and it'll enable us to better experience his presence within us. We learn humility, trust, and dependence on King Jesus. We make room in our heart and mind for Holy Spirit's power to work and to drive out the darkness. Our pain takes on purpose, and our heartache turns to hope. See, there are many ways to offer praise, right? We are used to doing that through prayer and through the worship time when we sing. In the book of Psalms, we find expressions of praise through song and dance, the lifting of hands, the clapping, and the playing of instruments. The playing of instruments hits me the most, obviously. When I am feeling down, I am hurting, I am struggling, I am overstimulated and overwhelmed, give me a dark room, I will close my eyes, and I will put my hands on those keys, and I will check out. And my spirit, the Holy Spirit within me, will communicate with God the Father through my fingers and through the music that I get to play, and it will soothe my soul more than I can explain. Using the gifts that God has given you is a form of worship, and it's beautiful. Psalm 30:11 says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." We sang that in our pre-service song today. He brought me from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. When life hurts, when we're anxious and depressed, and the storm clouds are gathering over our heads, when we are struggling, we typically don't feel like praising God, right? It's easy to praise God and declare his goodness when life's good, right? Oh, thank you, God, for these blessings. Life is so good because you're so good. You are amazing because I feel amazing. It's really easy to praise him when things are great. It's hard when life feels bad, when we're broken, when we're bitter, when we're anxious, when we're afraid. That's when it's called a sacrifice of praise. Because we don't necessarily feel like celebrating God's goodness, but we do it anyway because he is worthy and he deserves it. God's power, authority, grace, and mercy does not change one bit when we are going through tough times. Abba's love for us does not change one bit when we are hurting and heartbroken. God doesn't need our praise, but he certainly desires it. And he knows that it will help us through all of our storms. In Psalm 41 through 3, David shares his own testimony about worshiping the Lord. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. No matter what we're going through, David was going through some rough times when he prayed that, when he praised the Lord through that. Let me give you some perspective here. I submit to you that worship from the pit is the most precious thing that we can offer to God on this side of eternity. Worship from the pit is the most precious thing we can offer to God from this side of eternity. In heaven, you don't have to worship through pain. You don't have to worship through heartbreak. You don't have to worship through disappointment. But here, on this earth, in this flesh, worshiping through the pain, the sadness, the frustration, the disappointment can only be given to him on this side of eternity. That is the sacrifice of praise. It's a true sacrifice, and it causes King Jesus to set your feet on a rock, and he will give you a firm place to stand. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's amazing. Again, as I always say, since my song is 90%, my brain is 90% song lyrics, let me read to you some of Corey Asbury's lyrics from Nothing More Than You. When I was at my lowest, I'm going to cry. When I was at my lowest, you still were on the throne. When I was still a long way off, you ran to bring me home. When I was prone to wander, you loved me anyway. When I was 6 feet under, you pulled me from the grave. Dead to self, alive in Christ. No matter what we are going through, he will love us. No matter what we are going through, he is the rock upon which we build our lives. When we worship through all of the muck and mire of this world, it changes our focus. It causes a shift in our thinking, our minds and our heart to move to the problem solver instead of the problem. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He is the waymaker. Church, when you authentically worship and praise King Jesus, hope arises, faith is renewed, and strength is restored, and strongholds are broken. In you and in the lives of those who see you and hear you praise the Lord. Amen? Your praise is your witness to all of your unbelieving friends and family. Every time. So let's get into today's text. Ephesians 1, starting with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Wow. I could stop right there, and you can go home resting assured with those three verses. That should knock your socks off. Please know that this includes every spiritual blessing. This is what Paul's talking about here. This means that every blessing we receive in Christ. This means that God wants to bless us with everything available to us. These blessings are ours in heavenly places in Christ. They are higher, better, and more secure than earthly blessings. I can't go a few weeks without giving you a Spurgeon quote. Charles Spurgeon says, "Our thanks are due to the God for all temporal blessings. They are more than we deserve, but our thanks ought to go to God in thunders of hallelujahs for spiritual blessings. A new heart is better than a new coat. To feed on Christ is better to have the best earthly food. To be an heir of God is better than being the heir of the greatest nobleman. To have God for our portion is blessed, infinitely more blessed than to own broad acres of land. God hath blessed us with spiritual blessings. These are the rarest, the richest, the most enduring of all blessings. They are priceless in value." Oh. "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to the one he loves." Given us in the one he loves. Again, Paul is focusing here on relationship. Not religion, not routine, not rules, not regulations. Relationship with the King. The relational love that Yahweh has for us, so much more that he has freely given it to us through King Jesus. Freely given here is based on the Greek word charito, which can be translated into highly favored and full of grace. Every believer is blessed with it because of God's grace and the sacrifice of King Jesus. Highly favored and full of grace. So awesome. Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." In him we have redemption, and nowhere else will we find it. There is no possible redemption outside of Jesus and his redeeming blood. Everything else is temporal. Everything else is of this world. Redemption always implies a price has been paid for the freedom that is purchased. It uses the ancient Greek word here, lutruo, which means to liberate upon the receipt of a ransom. Here, the price is in his blood. Here, the price is in the sacrifice of King Jesus, showing that the blessing from the Father and the Son comes not only from a divine decree, but it also comes according to his righteousness and his holiness, his redeeming blood. Remember, God cannot bless in opposition to his own righteousness and holiness. According to the riches of his grace, the redemption and forgiveness given to us comes according to the measure of the riches of his grace. It's so powerful, so over the top, that we can't even comprehend it. It's not a small redemption or forgiveness won by Jesus on the cross. It is immense. And he lavished on us. What does lavish mean? Lavish means spending, giving, or using more than is necessary or reasonable. More than enough. We don't deserve what he has lavished on us. That grace that he has lavished on us, he's given more than necessary. He's given more than reasonable. We don't deserve it, but yet we have it. What a blessing. What a reason to praise. He lavished it on us with all wisdom and understanding. So an unbeliever will hear that and be like, "It doesn't make any sense. You don't deserve it. That murderer didn't deserve it. That guy over there didn't deserve it. That druggie didn't deserve it. That addict didn't deserve it. That abuser didn't deserve it." But true repentance, 100%, there is that lavish grace. And he did it with wisdom and understanding. It wasn't willy-nilly. It wasn't an impulsive decision. It was purposeful and it was calculated. God knows his children. Amen? He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Verse 10 is a powerful image in my brain. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. To bring unity to all things in heaven under... to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. God's ultimate plan is to bring together, to ultimately resolve, all things in Christ. Either through King Jesus as a Savior, or through King Jesus as a judge. This will happen in the fullness of times, or in other words, during the end times. God's ultimate plan is to bring together, to ultimately resolve, all things in Christ. This is the greater resolution and deliverance that even the creation groans for in Romans 8. The day when every wrong will be made right and every matter resolved according to God's holy love and ultimate justice. In him we are chosen. For believers, King Jesus is not the judge, but the one in whom we have our inheritance. In whom we become a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Believers are predestined for this according to the counsel of his will. Again, the reasons for his choosing reside in him, not in us. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, we see three aspects of God's plan working together here. It begins with his purpose, then the counsel of his will, and then the results of his work. They all work hand in hand. God made his plan carefully according to his eternal purpose, taking counsel with the Godhead, and then he works all wisdom so that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. God's purpose in all this is that those who have trusted in Messiah will exist to praise his name. Believers in Christ will live to praise his glory. The goal of God's ultimate plan is to glorify him, which means we exist for his glory. We exist to praise him. We exist to lift him up. Not for worldly success. Not for the promotion you've been killing yourself for. Not for the job you sacrificed your family for. Not for the money or the fancy car or fame or influence or social media likes. We exist for his glory. We exist to praise him. My favorite tagline, you see it everywhere. I've said it to you many times. Our faith is action. Action is stewardship. Stewardship takes us closer to Jesus. Being closer to Jesus takes us into God's will. And when we're in God's will, what? God gets all the glory. That is why we exist. And then we jump to verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Wow. An essential part of Yahweh's work is the healing and sealing work of the Holy Spirit. His presence in our lives acts as a seal which indicates ownership. It is a guarantee of our inheritance. The seal, therefore, is Holy Spirit himself, and his presence in the believer denotes ownership and security. The sealing with the Spirit is not an emotional feeling. It's not some mysterious inward experience. It's a divine, supernatural promise. The exact Greek word used for guaranteeing here is only used in the New Testament when Holy Spirit is being referred to. Isn't that cool? The only time this word guaranteeing is phrased this way is when it refers to the Holy Spirit. He is not only our down payment of coming glory, nothing else is provided to get there because it's not needed. Our inheritance is sealed unto the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of His glory. We have this guarantee until we are completely purchased by God through resurrection and glorification. In other words, church, we can rest assured that we are safe in the Savior's arms from glory to glory. From the moment that we surrender to King Jesus, become saved and are dead to ourselves and alive in Christ until we enter eternal glory in the presence of the Most High. To the praise of His glory. We can stand firm on the promises of God, and regardless of what is happening in our lives and in this crazy world, we will give all the praise to Him because He deserves it from rescuing us from this dominion of darkness. And because of that, we can praise Him anywhere. We need to praise Him anywhere with all that we have. Anytime we absolutely can. Praise needs to be on the tip of our tongues always. Church, praise breaks down the walls of fear, of depression, of shame, of confusion. Praise is rooted in gratitude. And again, when we praise, our focus goes from the problem to the problem solver. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. He will always be found within our worship and praise. So since He's always found in our worship and praise, let me ask you something. If God inhabits our praise, who do you think inhabits our complaints? Something to think about. If your heart is not focused on praise, on Him, on His power, on His glory, and His mission for you, He can't inhabit your praises because you're not giving them. He's not going to inhabit those complaints, so who is? Who's pulling you away from Him? If you are ready to level up, and if we are going to level up as a church family, I promise you, it will begin with praise. John 12:32, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to Myself." When we lift King Jesus up, when we praise Him, He will draw everyone to Him. When we lift King Jesus up, when we praise Him, our church will grow, our community will change, and our lives will never, ever be the same. Amen. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for how You infused Your message for us today through every bit of this service. Through the lyrics that we sang, through the prayers that we prayed, Lord, let this start a new trend in each and every one of us, that we will begin our day with praise and we will end our day with praise, and everything in between will be praising You. The gifts that You've given us, the eternal glory that You have promised us, how good You are, how worthy You are, how merciful You are. Nothing else in this world compares to Your greatness. Let us never forget that. Let us never take it for granted. And let us use everything that You've given us for Your glory. In Jesus' name.